It was on December 17th, I believe, in 1979, when a group of folks got together and decided to create a local bank that would help the local community. And Bobby King was one of the initial folks that was on that first board and created Oregon Pacific Bank. Bobby, welcome, and tell me a little bit about those early days. What was it like, you know, deciding that Florence needed a community bank?
Well, thanks, George. Pleasure to be here. You know, I call it the adventure because here's a group of seven guys, business people in the community of Florence, banked local. We weren't in the community that long. We actually moved here in 67. And but we banked here, and actually, I take that back. We did not bank here. We banked in Independence, where we came from. And we wanted to bank here, but really did not agree with the community bank that was here. Actually, there were several, three banks, I think. And I wasn't the only one thinking that way, that it was not really serving the community like we thought it should. So I get a phone call from Dr. A.J. Brower in the spring of 79. And, Bob, can you come down to the office? I'd like to talk to you. So I go down to the office and we visit. He said, there's a group of us that have been talking, and we'd like you to come aboard and form a bank in the community of Florence. We just feel like there's a need for a good community bank. And I had been thinking that way anyway all along. And so, of course, I felt honored and privileged to be included in that group. I was 35 years old. All the other business people in the community were somewhat older. And so I felt like they're bringing this young guy aboard to, I don't want to say, I'm from a different community, not a community, but a different business like logging. Most of these people were community-oriented in the town of Florence. And, of course, we lived here, but our logging business is out of the area within an hour to 2 hours. So I felt really privileged to be included in that group. So we started meeting in the spring of 79, met out at A.J. Brower's house time and time and time again trying to put this together. So finally, we decided that it was time to go see the SOB, which is the Superintendent of Banks for the state of Oregon.
That's odd. They would be the SOB.
Yes,
there.
They call him the SOB. And so here's this group of guys, seven guys, walking down the streets of Florence, all in sport coats and ties, going to the city of Salem. And we're on our way to see the SOB. And we tell them we want to form this bank. And so we had these meetings with the state superintendent of banks and decided what we needed to do. And one of the criteria, part of the criteria, was to do a capital raise of at least $1 million before we could open this bank. So we had some capital to operate on. So we set forth trying to get we printed our brochures and proceeded to call people we knew, people we thought would be interested in contributing to be a part of this bank and be the original stockholders. So we sold over $1 million in less than 100 days.
Wow.
Well, we really moved. We're out just calling friends and getting people that were interested in the same thing that wanted to be in this joint venture. So we sold that stock out we actually thought we set a record because it was under 100 days. And then we were at all the capital and we brought in a mobile home to put on our site where we are now and got everything started. It was a lot of legwork. A lot of work, a lot of meetings for that original group. So in 1970, December, then we were able to open the doors and start Oregon Pacific Bank. It was a thrill.
So from the spring of that same year to December, you guys put all this together.
Absolutely.
Wow. To me, that seems kind of quick.
Well, it was.
Knowing how regulations and things
exactly.
Were.
And that's the thing about, see, we had to decide whether we're going to be a FDIC bank or a Federal Reserve for a federal regulating, but we wanted to be a state chartered bank. So we're a state chartered bank and under Federal Reserve regulations with the FDIC insurance. So there's all those kind of federal agencies you had to deal with. We did not stand still. This group of people, we were on the move meeting after meeting after meeting. And one of the people that was on that board was an ex-vice president of another bank who kind of knew the ropes, how to go about this more. And then we also had a retired gentleman from Petaluma, California, who lived in Florence, who was president of a credit union. So he knew banking and procedures. So we had some expertise on the board. Besides being a logger and a 35-year-old kid, we had some people that really stepped up and knew what they were doing.
What were some of the things that you saw that you needed to incorporate with Oregon Pacific Bank that the other banks weren't offering at the time?
To say that, I want to be careful not to belittle or put down other banks in the community at the time, because they all served their purpose.
Right.
We just felt like a community bank that did local business, turned the dollars and put it back into the community, and did it with a smile and confidentiality. There were some times that other banks in the community that we didn't feel like had the same philosophy that we did. And one of those is confidentiality, to where you don't talk about clients. If everything's confidential, you can come to our bank, be called by your first name, and feel good about being able to talk in confidence, and your business is going to stay confident with that, with the bank. And besides that, the dollars earned in this community with this community bank stays in that community. Some of the banks in the area were out of town. Their business structure was not in Florence, but out of town in different areas. We pride ourselves in, even today, with different communities that we're in, those dollars stay in that community. We're a community-oriented bank, whether it depends on the community, whatever community we're in.
Since it started in the spring of 79, this actually, right around this time, marks your 40th year.
Correct.
With the bank, and I assume that you're going to, at some point, you're stepping down and retiring from that. So you put in a complete 40 years. What are some of the milestones over the years that you have seen at Oregon Pacific
Bank? Well, that's a good question. I do have some things jotted down, because 40 years, yes, I am retiring from chairman of the board and also from the board. But to start off with, in 1979, A.J. Brower was the chairman of the board and actually the main cog in the wheel that got us all started. Jim Mandershite at that time was our CEO at the start of the bank. And in 1984, Mandershite went a different direction and we hired Tom Grove as our CEO. Tom, being from, I believe, Wyoming, came in and just kind of took over the area, the community, great volunteer, put the bank out front in the community. So he was our second CEO and very involved in the community, the hospital board, Rotary, everything. Another highlight of the banking career was in 1997, was when we appointed the first two women to the board, Martine Wick and Lydia Brackney, two lovely ladies that came on board. Gave the board a different dynamic because we had some ladies aboard, which was the best thing in the world. There was a common sense, a common thread that banking cannot stay stalemate. You have to move. You have to grow. We had stockholders that we had to make sure that they were out in front, because their investment dollar had to be a good return. Therefore, in order to meet those demands that we wanted to meet, we felt important that we grow. So we grew not haphazardly, but we grew with a purpose. We grew into the community of Coos Bay because our main competition in some of these communities were growing so big and so fast that they were actually losing the first name of their clients. They became a number instead of a name. To us, that was never going to happen. We wanted people to be called by their first name, greeted with a smile, tended to just like they were a part of the bank. And so our clients were so important to us that we felt when these communities grew so fast and this bank grew so fast that they were losing that connection. It was time for Oregon Pacific Bank to move into those communities and create a bank that would go back to the standard of confidentiality with a smile and take care of the clients. That way we were growing our base. Stockholders were happy. We were moving things out. We were growing. So after we formed a branch in Coos Bay, we were still looking for growth. Then we decided to move into the Roseburg area for the same reason, because this other bank grew so fast. We felt like there was a need for a community bank to be able to move in and have clients to be able to call them by the first name with confidentiality and create dollars in the community that stayed in that community. So the dollars in Coos Bay stayed there. The dollars in Roseburg was stayed there. The key to all this, though, is that you don't grow without the right personnel. Until we found the right personnel in those communities, you don't make that jump. So the first thing was a search for the right people to be able to run your bank and do the right things. So we found those people, Coos Bay, Then we went to the Roseburg Market, and we found those people in Roseburg. We found the right people, people in place first, and then we built the branches. And then we created the banks in Roseburg and Coos Bay. About that time, and I'm not sure the dates, but Tom Grove retired, stayed on the board. And then we hired another CEO, which would be the third CEO, a guy by the name of Jim Clark. Jim was hired as our CEO, and not very long after that, we need a chief credit administrator to come aboard. And we found a great guy out of the Eugene market, and we hired Ron Green. We say we hired the Green Team, because Ron and his wife Catherine came aboard at Oregon Pacific Bank. Ron is the chief credit administrator. And so we had a pretty good team forming there. Then we decided to go a different direction. And Ron became our CEO, president, CEO of Oregon Pacific Bank. And we've just kind of boomed. Economy kind of dictates how you do. We had the downturn with the housing market that everybody suffered through. Oregon Pacific Bank was no different than other banks. We had some loans that were troublesome, but, you know, we were able to handle them because we had the right people aboard, and we cleaned up all of those and got through those troubled times that a lot of banks didn't get through. That's a real plus to our CEO and the chief credit administrators and the people that work those loans. We got them above board. Banks aren't free and loosey-goosey. They're examined by federal auditors. Examiners come in and they go through everything and they set this criteria and you have to jump through these hoops. Well, when that housing market and everything went in the tank, you were heavily scrutinized by examiners and you had to meet those guys head on with solutions. And credit to our people at the different branches were able to handle that. When that really got tough, we met these people head on and actually had solutions before. They'd come into your bank and examine everything. They'd say, we want this, this, and this. 90% of the time, we were already ahead of them. We had those things already done. But they can always come in and find these little nickel-dime things that, okay, yeah, that should be handled, but nothing of really that important. But the main things we handled ahead of time, and we got through those tough times. And I keep thinking back about the Federal Reserve coming in and examiners. And I think their job was to put the fear into you that these things can happen if you don't do this, this, and this. And I always say we are already doing those things. It was a matter of jumping through their hoops according to how they wanted it done. And we did that with pride and we handled everything like we should have. So anyway, after we went through the tough times, am I going okay?
Or, yeah, you're fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So after those tough times, we got kind of straightened out. You know, Oregon Pacific Bank has a great trust department and a financial wealth management department. And it happened to be that there was a trust department in Medford that was selling out. Another bank bought this branch in Medford, and they did not want that trust department. So we moved to the Medford area with the idea of taking over that trust department, and we doubled the size of our trust department, and it's just been a great thing since. And so Medford is a potential for future, but right now we have a trust department in Medford. And then in 2007, AJ retired as chairman of the board. He had been chairman of the board for 28 years, and I was appointed chairman of the board, and I've served as chair of the board for the last 12 years. AJ had retired from the board, I'd say probably 10 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. Besides myself, AJ was the last founding board member, and then now I am the last founding board member that will retire. It's been an exciting adventure to see a $1 million investment grow to a $323 million investment. It's great for our stockholders, our clients, and we've moved into the Eugene market and hired some really key people in the Eugene area, and that's helping the growth of the bank, and that's kind of our new adventure. We just opened up our new branch on 11th and Oak. Not a new facility, but a refurbished facility. So we're on the move in the Eugene area, and it kind of gives you goosebumps for a founder of 35 years of age to see this thing grow like that and how proud I am, as the board is. And since that time, we've had a turnover of board members, but for different reasons. And now we have a young go-get-em board. And the thing about being on a board, me personally, is I've always been the boss. Even my dad and I had a logging company, and I've been the business end of that. My dad just wanted to be on a piece of equipment, and you take care of the business, And in the business, the logging business, you know, you shout orders and you get them taken care of, and I want this, I want that. Well, when you become a board member, that doesn't work that way. You have six other people, and now there's nine, that you come to a consensus. And that was a learning process for me. I had to pull in a little bit and realize that my way isn't always the right way or the only way. So it was a learning experience. And I'm sure the other board members rolled their eyes a lot of times when I said this, and this. And but it was 35 years of age. I learned. It was great. One of the highlights that I will always remember is that the board had a retreat over in, Warm Springs Indian Reservation. They have a resort called Kaneda. And we decided to have a retreat over there. Well, part of that retreat, it happened to be that we had a ranch in Antelope. And so we combined this retreat. And in the meantime, I arranged for a steak dinner at the Antelope Cafe, which is a little old restaurant. They shut the restaurant down and had tablecloths on the few little tables in there. And the board was treated to a great steak dinner. And then the next day we toured the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Holdings in Antelope, which surrounded our ranch. And I don't know if you've heard of the Bhagwan, but the Bhagwan was a cult that moved in and bought the 66,000-acre ranch, which someday I'm going to write a book. I got to get it done fairly soon because it was quite a story. But they moved in and took over this ranch. It was kind of a cult, and they kind of scared the neighbors. But 60,000 acres, we had a little old homestead in the middle of that. Well, we talked about the Rajneesh quite a bit then because I was always involved with them. So we did a tour. About that time, the Rajneeshes were run out of the country because they imported a lot of people in to sway the voting in the town of Antelope. It's a long story. Yeah. But anyway, the Rajneesh Holdings on the Big Muddy Ranch was abandoned, and we were able to tour the whole ranch that the Bhagwan had. You know, he had 99 Rolls Royces. We saw the garages where all the Rolls Royces were parked. We toured his triple wide setup in a configuration. One was just his Olympic sized swimming pool. He also had two escape tunnels going through the mountain on the backside, dug under the hills. So we didn't get to see that, but I had, but the board didn't get to see that. So we had a great tour, and it was a lot of fun. And the other retreat we had, we went to a national convention in Branson, Missouri, and saw a lot of Western shows. And, you know, when a board gets to travel together like that with their spouses, it's a big deal because everybody gets to befriend everybody and know everybody.
Bonding,
exactly. So those are two really neat highlights that we got to take on while I was there.
So what are you going to miss most? I guess the people, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. The employees. When I walk in the bank and they go, hi, Bobby, it's just... it's a big deal. And for me to run the board meetings, you know, we have fun in the meetings. I'm not really, I kind of like to have fun and run a good meeting with a lot of laughs, but yet get down to business and get through the business. I'll miss those board meetings, but I'll miss that camaraderie with the board. You develop good friends. And I believe that this group right now is up and coming, and they're going to just keep moving forward, and they're going to do it without Bobby King at the helm.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much for stopping in. It's good to hear the history of OPB and your history with it. And good luck down the road.
Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Coming up next, Congressman Peter DeFazio talk a little bit about healthcare with us here on this edition of Our Town.